So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near a plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to drink." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. Fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated, God, the children of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't do a lot of traveling, but every once in a while when I go out and I travel and I have to sit in an airport for a while, one of the things I like to do is just sit and watch people. Anybody like to do that as well? Yeah? I'm really kind of surprised that so many of you raised your hand, because usually what I see is people doing in the airport is they got their faces glued to a screen. You ever watch that? It's just amazing. But watching people's fun. And one of the things that I like to do when I watch people is try to imagine their story. You know, what's going on with them? And so I watch as people walk down the concourse with their kids, all the luggage in tow, or watch husbands and wives as they talk, people running down to catch the next plane. What really fascinates me in airports is, I still haven't figured this one out yet, but when they say, this is a pre-boarding call for, you know, people with small children, why is it that everybody stands up and gets in line? You ever notice that? Are you one of them? No, I'm not even going to ask if you're one of them. But it's just, it's amazing. But I try to imagine what they're doing. Are they going on vacation? Is this a trip for business? Are they going to visit friends and relatives? Or maybe it's something sad. Maybe they're going to bury a loved one. Be with somebody who's sick, doesn't have a lot of time. There's a million different stories. And while I don't know them, I can try to kind of make them up in my head. And then I'm also fascinated sometimes by the people who work in the airport. TSA agents, I don't know, people that work behind the counters. I wonder sometimes, what do they do when they're done? Where do they go? Who are the people they talk to? What's it really all about? How many of these folks do they make a connection with, if only for a few moments? There's a lot of stories out there. There are a lot of stories in here. A lot of stories. Have you ever come in here sometimes and just, I don't know, maybe felt a little out of place? You know, you look at everybody and everybody's kind of got their church face on. It's all kind of happy and smiling and fresh and clean. And the last thing in the world that you feel is like a Norman Rockwell painting. Because inside there's so many other things going on. And you, I don't know. You kind of feel alone. Because everybody else around you looks like they've got it all together. And your life at this moment is anything but all together. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. Because sometimes you want so desperately to hear God's voice. Know what it is He wants you to do. And so you read His word. You pray. And sometimes that voice just doesn't seem to come through. Kind of like static on the other end of the phone. And yet it seems like the guys down the street who go to church on Christmas and Easter and weddings and funeral, it seems like God blesses them. Or somebody does. And you kind of wonder what's going on. But the thing we need to remember is this. Everybody has a story. So, all right. We'll hope this thing doesn't restart in 10 minutes. Every life has a story. Woman in the gospel lesson for today, she's got a story. This is a woman that was an outcast. It's the reason that she came to the well at noon. She didn't come at the time when everybody else came, when it was nice and cool and gathered with everybody else, but she came at noon, the hottest time of the day.
She came because it was better than listening to a bunch of whispers that were spoken just loud enough for her to hear, but people pretended that she wouldn't. She came because it was easier to suffer the heat and be by herself than it was to be an outcast among the people of her own community. This was a woman of great loneliness. A loneliness so deep that it hurt. She longed to be part of a community, to share in what was going on in the town, to hear some of the local gossip, the laughter of children. But the only voices that she heard were the voices whispered behind her back, or the voices of the men with whom she lived. Men who, for the most part, kind of used her, took advantage of her, probably didn't care a great deal about her or even respect who and what she was. For her, that well was a microcosm of her life. It can be described in one word: hell. And so when she came to the well, her eyes are down. She probably really doesn't even notice Jesus. Or if she does, doesn't think about it. Why? Nobody else spoke to her. Why in the world would a Jewish man of all people? She's lost in her own thoughts. Not even sure what they were. And suddenly she hears, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, that doesn't sound like too big a deal today, but back then that was a big deal. First of all, Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. Samaritans were kind of like, I want you to think of the person that you hate the most in life, or you dislike the most in life. Okay? Think about that person. Multiply it by 10. And then you might be getting close. And men did not talk to women in public, especially women who were alone and weren't their wives. And so she's totally taken back. What in the world is this all about? Why in the world would you even bother to talk to me? And so she says, "How can you even ask me for a drink?" And Jesus replies, "If you knew the generosity of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Now, living water meant fresh flowing water, like out of a stream, artesian well, as opposed to, you know, sometimes they collected water in cisterns. Okay, after it sits a little while, what happens to it? It gets a little brackish, doesn't it? Okay, so he's talking about living water, fresh, clean. And she's thinking, wow, if I have this living water, you know what? I never have to come to this stinking place again. I never have to come here. I never have to be humiliated. I never have to hold my eyes down. I never have to listen to their laughs and their snickers and their and all this stuff going on behind my back. And basically, I can just say to the rest of you, and my life will be different. It no longer will be hell. But at the same time, this isn't a stupid woman. She knows that there's more to what Jesus says than just this. That he's not just talking about water, he's talking about something else. And she's kind of afraid as to what that something else might be. What's he really mean? Living water. To be made alive. To drink something that, that quenches every thirst within you. Can you imagine what that would be like? But it's kind of scary. Because to do that, she might have to change. And so she does something that she seldom does. She looks at him. She doesn't look people in the eye in a long time. She's too ashamed, too humiliated, too whatever. And she sees something there that she hasn't seen in a human being in a very long time. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't look through her as if she doesn't exist. He looks at her and he sees a person. Someone whose life matters. She really doesn't know how to handle that. Because she hasn't felt that in her life in years. And for the first time, she can look at a human being and not feel guilty. Because that's not what's there. And I think that's one of the things we need to realize as well. When God looks at us, there's no reason for us to be guilty. Now, church has done a great job over the years making people feel guilty about themselves. We've done a fantastic job. God's not about guilt. God's about grace. A whole lot different. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. It doesn't make us bad people. Doesn't mean we have to carry that garbage around with us all the time either. Life's bad enough at times without carrying around a bunch of junk you don't need. Now, that doesn't say that God's always pleased with everything you've done, because he's not. But, you know, it's like with the kids and the blocks. What do? You learn from your mistakes and you start all over again. Well, God calls us to take a look at ourselves and reflect, repent, make some changes, and live a little bit differently. And, yeah, you're going to goof up again. I'll just tell you that right off the top. Trust me, I know from personal experience. Well, there's a lot of things we can take out of this lesson, but we're just going to look at two. Okay? We're just going to look at two. First one's this. God knows everything that you have ever done, thought, or said. And as he looks at you, he doesn't condemn you for anything. He wants you to know one thing. You're worth something. You're important. You're important to him. Don't ever sell yourself short. Secondly, every person around you has a story. And it doesn't mean that that you all have to sit here after church and spill out all your stories to everybody around you, because I know you're not going to do that. That's just way too unsafe for any of us. But realize this. One of the reasons that God has given you to one another is so that you can strengthen, uphold, uplift, help those around you. Pick and choose. Find that person. God's given you somebody. But realize this. You're not alone. You know, sometimes when we go through stuff, we feel like we're the only one that's going through it, whether it's a problem with a spouse or a child or a friend or a coworker or just a dilemma in life. Let me tell you, you're not alone. Not just you're not alone because God's always with you, but you're not the only person going through it. And sometimes, that's just enough to know that. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.